Hi, I'm Jane Lindholm. I'm the host of Vermont Edition, and I just wanted to let you know that this podcast has been edited for brevity. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel, sitting in today for Jane Lindholm. The special veto legislative session starts tomorrow to consider Governor Phil Scott's vetoes of three different bills: the state budget for next year, the bill that sets the statewide property tax rate, and legislation legalizing the recreational use of marijuana. As lawmakers come back to Montpelier, have legislative leaders reached any compromises with the governor over these issues? And why has the process to find a compromise been so secretive, with only a handful of lawmakers participating in the process? With us today to give us an update of where things stand are two reporters who cover the State House and state government very closely, Terry Hellenbeck of 7 Days and Neil Goswami, who is bureau chief at the Vermont Press Bureau. Great to have you both here today.
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Bob. Good to be here.
Terry, Democratic leaders at the State House say they were pretty close to reaching an agreement with the governor over the issue of teachers' health care when the session ended a month ago. You know, now it's a month later. Have you seen any evidence that they've come closer to an agreement on this issue? And would you just briefly remind us what this teachers' health care issue is all about?
On the first question, no, we don't. It doesn't look like we're any closer, and if we are, we certainly don't know it, and it's not just us that doesn't know it. It's the legislators who will be voting on it who are sitting here in the dark about what they might be voting on less than 24 hours from now. But so the issue is that the teachers' health care is up for renewal across the state in January because of the Affordable Care Act. They're shifting to a new plan. And the issue is, how much of that plan should they pay for versus their school districts? And the plans themselves are going to be less expensive than the previous plans just by their very nature. So the notion is the state could save money on this, or taxpayers could save money. But how much exactly is guaranteed to be saved is a little more nebulous. And there is disagreement between the governor and the legislature over how to force the local school districts to negotiate a certain price with their teachers, because that has always been done at the local level.
So, Terry, you expecting that all of a sudden the Democratic leaders will say, hey, here it is, here's the compromise everybody's been waiting for. It addresses the issue of keeping collective bargaining at the local level, also achieves the governor's plan to save $26 million a year. Why don't you vote on it? Is that the way this is going to play out?
Well, I would guess it's going to be more, nuanced than that, as it usually is. Is it that maybe I can picture them putting off, saying that all contracts here from now on have to be no more than 2 years, so we can go at this again in 2 years, and things like that. But no, if there was a compromise between the two points of view, it seems like we would have reached it a month ago.
So, Terry, do you think in some way any final compromise will include perhaps a special commission to study this issue?
That seems to be one option, and maybe setting up a special commission to negotiate these contracts in the future.
Neil, what are you hearing? Are you a little surprised we're a day away from the start of the special session and we don't have a concrete proposal on the table?
You know, I guess I'm not all that surprised. I mean, if we think about our own lives, we tend to work better under the gun, and they are certainly under the gun at this point, with lawmakers all returning to the State House tomorrow. I think they're running up against a few different things here. Lawmakers and legislative leaders that are in these secretive closed-door meetings are really sticking to the point that they want to work within the framework of things that have already gone through the legislative process. The governor is asking them to reach beyond that and consider things in a new bill that didn't go through the legislative process. So I think that's really a big part of the rub here. Legislative leaders believe that there is a process I guess it's a selective process on their terms, that should be followed. And the governor thinks that they can do things outside the scope of what has already been considered. I think the commission to look at this issue is still in play. I think Terry's right. There's probably discussions about capping the length of any new teacher contracts so that they have another crack at this down the road. But other than that, we are really in the dark here. And in my opinion, it's just a really terrible way for government to conduct its business.
How does a compromise that includes a special commission satisfy the governor who wants the savings and says we have a unique opportunity, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to achieve these savings now?
I don't think it necessarily does, but, you know, we are in a negotiation, so both sides are going to have to give something. And the governor and lawmakers might be able to recreate this special once-in-a-lifetime opportunity by capping the length of contracts that are signed this year so that every teacher's union will be negotiating a new contract in 2 years again. Maybe that's enough to win some buy-in from the governor.
Terry, let's talk about the process that's been used in the last month or so. We've been hearing the words done in secret. Perhaps the two sides didn't want elements of their negotiations to be leaked out and discussed in public. But it also means that most members of the legislature have no clue about what these conversations have been all about. And some lawmakers seem pretty upset about that.
Well, I think that they, rightfully so, they're just expected to come back and accept what their leaders have done. It sounds like, you know, we want government like New York State does it, which I think is not a good thing. And I think the legislative leaders have complained that the governor himself has not been at the table for most of these negotiations. I guess for the first time this morning, he met with them, but they said 30 hours of negotiation and he chipped in 30 minutes this morning. So I also think that they've shown other signs of this is not going well, because they Speaker Mitzi Johnson in the last few days has had an op-ed out in publications around the state in which she has blatantly criticized the governor, saying in vetoing the budget, Governor Scott said no to a fiscally responsible budget and no to an inclusive nonpartisan process. So, you know, that was a deliberate, right here at the 11th hour, slam against the governor. It would suggest that all is not going swimmingly.
And I would just make another point on the nature of these secret negotiations. Peter Hirschfeld of VPR here had a story the other day about how these meetings are taking place behind closed doors, and both Senate President Pro Tem Tim Ash and House Speaker Mitzi Johnson, used some lofty language to describe how unfortunate it is that this is the way it has to be. Well, you know, despite their, you know, flowing rhetoric, the only reason it is this way is because they've chosen to make this way. And they should probably remind themselves that they work for the people, and really it's voters in the public that should be able to weigh in on this too and figure out what's going on here. And the governor has made noise about wanting public negotiations, but he hasn't really put his backbone into it. So, you know, all of them are to blame for the secretive process that left everyone in the dark.
Neil, it's kind of interesting. Down in Washington, Senate Republicans are crafting a health care bill, but not a lot of Republicans in the Senate caucus are involved in those discussions. And we almost see the same thing happening up here in Vermont with Democratic leaders discussing teachers' health care.
I think there are very direct parallels, and it is terrible public policy in Washington, and it's terrible public policy in Vermont to do this sort of thing that has sweeping, you know, it really has a sweeping effect on many, many Vermonters. And I think they should be ashamed of the way they've done this.
And it's not just the legislators and the media and the public, but the school boards and the superintendents and the union have all said that they have not been invited to the table either. So they don't know what awaits them. You know, they don't know if the agreement will be, well, let's take this much money from school districts, you know, that start their new budget 2 weeks from now, a week and a half from now. So I think that they are all starting to speak up about, we're a little nervous about what they might agree to.
Let's talk to Patrick in Westford. Hey, Patrick, welcome to the program.
Howdy. So one thing that I haven't been able to find in any of the coverage around the teacher's health care plan is exactly what that would be in relation to the teacher union itself. So, for example, north of us in Quebec, teacher health care plans, as I understand it, are set statewide, and then they're negotiated between the state and the statewide or the province and the province-wide teachers union. So hypothetically, if there's an impasse, you could see a province-wide strike over it. From what either Scott or what any other sort of compromises that are being floated, is that sort of the mechanism that it would be a bargained contract, or is this something that would simply be laid down in legislation and unions wouldn't really, even at the state level, have any sort of right to bargain around or strike over it?
Terry, there would be some bargaining, wouldn't there?
Well, I think all of those options were out there at some point on the table of, yes, they could just legislate a contract. That didn't go over very well with the teachers or the legislature. Or they could negotiate a statewide contract. That's what the governor wanted, but the teachers don't like that because they now bargain district by district or, union by union. I just think that that's so what we're hearing so far is that whatever they're negotiating today is probably not going to change the bargaining rules for next year. So that's what the legislature is telling the governor, we're not willing to go there.
Let's talk to Bill, who's calling from Williston. Hey, Bill, what's on your mind today?
I've worked extensively in the legislature, both as a volunteer and as a paid lobbyist. And I just want to point out that we're wringing our hands a lot over something that's quite common in the last days of a normal session, particularly over the budget and some other more complex bills of policy, that much of the last-minute niggling and detail changes and compromises don't necessarily happen in an open committee room. And this is sort of par for the course. Now, anything that's going to be changed in these two bills, the detail and complexity-wise, will certainly be easily covered by the two caucuses, by their leadership, and then they can have their discussions. So this is not there's no disenfranchisement going on here. What is happening is bargaining. And it often happens both in committee and conference or in the hallway and so on. So I think we're wringing our hands a little bit over normal procedure, beating up on these folks. This is a hard job.
Okay, Bill, thanks very much for your phone call. Neil, Bill says this happens all the time at the end of the session.
Well, I think Bill is right in some regard. This does happen every year, every legislative session at the end of the year. The difference here really is that when the governor and the speaker and the pro tem go in a meeting behind closed doors at the end of a session, they're typically kicking around ideas that have gone through the legislative process, that have been through committee hearings, they've taken testimony, they've heard different sides of the issue. In this case, they're really talking about something that has not gone through the legislative process, that hasn't, people have not had the opportunity to sit down in committee and offer testimony. So yes, there are some parallels there, but there's that one big glaring difference that I think is a huge difference.
Well, and I think too, at the end of the session, when they're doing that, there's a lot of people around.
Right.
So when they come out of those rooms, There's the media is there, but a whole bunch of other legislators are there, so it sort of quickly becomes, well, what's going on, and there's time and space for feedback,
and that feedback tends to influence the direction
right.
things go,
and now they know that when they walk out of the room, no one even knew that they were meeting, so there's no one waiting, and that just makes a different feeling of when they by the time they go back. They've maybe run it by a few people, but it's their select few people, and there's not a whole lot of buzz going around the building.
Terry, what happens if lawmakers fail to reach an agreement with the governor on this teacher's health care issue? Let's just say it's a stalemate and they just can't come to an agreement on it. What happens to the state budget then? What happens to the statewide property tax rate for education? How does all that get dealt with?
It's Armageddon. I don't know. It's new territory. We've never had a year when there has not been a state budget as of July 1st, apparently. So that would be all new territory, and, you know, you cannot operate government because you can't raise money and then you can't spend money. So now, in other words, it can't happen.
Well, hasn't the governor said he won't keep those
right.
bills hostage?
Right. So that's an interesting, you know, piece of this is it feels as though they do have to come up with something because.
Or they passed the same budget and yield bill they kicked out earlier this year.
Right. But he would have to go
to
not veto
them,
it. Yeah.
So, Neil, walk us through. Does that happen? Do they say they just have to agree to disagree tomorrow or Thursday and say, "Hey, Governor, here's the budget we all passed before. We're sending it to you again."
I don't know that it has to happen Wednesday or Thursday, but certainly at some point Friday or early next week, they would have to determine that there really is no more forward progress. We are not going to reach a compromise. And we need to put a budget in place for July 1st. And as you just noted, the governor has already said that if he needs to sign the budget and yield bills that have already passed, he will do that to prevent any kind of government shutdown on July 1st. He did make that promise to Vermonters that there will be no government shutdown. So it may not be Wednesday or Thursday, but it won't be very long after that, I believe, that that they have to make that determination because, number one, I don't think lawmakers, the rank-and-file lawmakers, want to sit around twiddling their thumbs for weeks like they did at the end of this recent legislative session. And number two, it costs money. So to have them there twiddling their thumbs is a fairly significant waste of state resources.
Let's talk to Greta in Jericho. Hey, Greta, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I see this issue of teachers' health care as a very simple business decision and feel that negotiating all state employee health care benefits in total, including teachers, provides the state more opportunity and more leverage to negotiate with payers. The more lives that you're covering, the more benefits you can afford your people at a cheaper rate. Just, you know, like the issues we've all heard about when it comes to the Affordable Care Act and needing more healthy lives to make sure we can pay for people with health care needs. So I guess the conundrum is I just don't understand what teachers are losing. All I can see are wins for the state, the taxpayers, and the recipients of the benefits across the board. We stand to be able to bolster the health care benefits received by all state employees. And I will listen to your comments offline. Thank you.
Okay, Greta, thanks very much. Neil, I think the teachers would say they like to bargain locally because
right.
in one district they might want to have a health care plan that offers one premium and perhaps they'll look at salary and wage benefits a different way. And who knows, a different district 100 miles away might view things very differently.
Yeah, well, I think, number one, I think she's right that if you look at it from a purely business standpoint, it probably does make sense to have teachers negotiate as one group. Not on a, you know, individual union basis. But I think the fatal flaw in the argument there is she's referencing state employees. Teachers are not state employees. They are employees of their individual districts. And that really is the issue here. Collective bargaining is a process in which you negotiate for your benefits directly with your employer. The state does not employ teachers in Vermont, and that's the issue.
Well, another issue, too, is that if you're going to change the way it's done,
mm-hmm.
Maybe you need to give the teachers more warning.
Right.
And this came about in, you know, through the course of the session, so sometime around April. And, you know, so asking somebody to give something up usually requires more time and negotiation than that. So that's, you know, perhaps the issue at trying to do this again in 2 years is everybody would have fair warning that we're going to change the way we negotiate your health care.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. Today we're looking at the two issues of the special veto session. With me today, Terry Hallenbeck of 7 Days and Neil Goswami, Bureau Chief at the Vermont Press Bureau. Well, the second key bill, we have been discussing teachers' health care. The other bill is legislation legalizing the recreational use of marijuana. The bill legalizes marijuana in the summer of 2018. It sets up a commission to study a state regulatory model with retail stores and the taxation of marijuana. The governor had some public safety concerns with the bill, and he wanted the commission to be expanded and to spend at least a year on their work. Terry, do we have an agreement on this bill?
Shockingly, we do not know yet. And this is the thing, is like, so after he vetoed the bill, the governor said, I'm pretty sure we can work something out that maybe we can pass during the veto session. And every conversation since then has been about how positive these talks have been between legislative leaders and the governor's administration on the marijuana bill. And yet here we are less than 24 hours from the session, and we don't know what they're going to do. My understanding is that there's a phone teleconference among the players at 1:30 this afternoon, and maybe they'll know after that. But once again, the legislators will be coming back not knowing. Maybe they'll know by tomorrow morning, but at the moment, they don't know what they're going to be asked to vote on.
But at least they've been... at least we know more of what the issues are and what both sides are pursuing here.
True.
What are some of those issues?
So in his veto message, the governor mentioned that he was concerned that some of the penalties were too low for various offenses. So, Senator Dick Sears, chairman of Senate Judiciary, and Representative Maxine Grad, the House Judiciary chairwoman, they put a proposal together and made it public, released it to the media and others, and they boosted some of the fines that were associated with legalized marijuana. And they addressed the commission issue. There's a commission in the legalization bill that would study a tax and regulate system. There are differences over how the commission should be constructed and when they should issue a report. So we know that there, according to Sears, there are about 4 to 5 issues that still remain. One of them is smoking in a car, a person smoking marijuana in a car with a minor. The governor would like to see that become a criminal offense. Lawmakers made it a civil offense with a $500 fine. So that's one of the things. And then the makeup of the commission. The governor wants the Secretary of Commerce to sit on this commission. And lawmakers have said, okay, we'll accept that as long as we can have the ACLU sit on the commission as well. And so they're still working on that. The timeline of the commission's report is also another thing that needs to be hammered out. But, in contrast to how the budget negotiations are going, this is like, bright daylight on a sunny day.
Terry, even if there is a compromise, so let's just say for the sake of discussion that legislative leaders and the governor come to an agreement on legislation legalizing marijuana in the summer of 2018. If that happens, House Minority Leader Don Turner has vowed not to suspend rules to allow this bill to come to the floor for a vote. Can Turner effectively block consideration of this bill?
Well, not single-handedly. I think it would depend on what goes on with the budget. If everybody's happy with the budget and somehow magically within the next 20 hours, that probably puts a whole different light on the marijuana thing. Maybe they'd be willing to play along, because what the heck? Otherwise, you'll just pass it in January. We might as well do it now. So I don't think that Don necessarily speaks for all of his members when it comes to that. But if they've got no good reason to suspend the rules, they don't suspend the rules. And then maybe the legislature and the governor can do something to establish this commission by executive order and agree to pass the bill in January, which wouldn't change the effective date at all, and it would let the commission start its work.
So, Terry, do you think in a way that this teachers' health care issue and the marijuana bill are linked in that if there's no agreement on teachers' health care, it's unlikely that lawmakers would want to deal just with the legalization of marijuana?
I think there's a little bit of a PR problem there. If you say, well, we couldn't manage to do, we couldn't manage to eat our peas and our meat, but we had a great dessert, is how that's going to play in the public. And I think there the legislative leaders have said, the House Speaker has said, this the marijuana thing is not the priority here. You know, if it happens, it happens. But what we're worried about is the budget. And I really think they want to make sure that that message resonates, that that they did not come back to work on the marijuana thing.
And also, Neil, the governor has said, if there is an agreement, that he would reach out to members of the House Republican caucus. Could that be effective?
Well, that remains to be seen. I mean, the House GOP caucus is its own entity, right? And will they follow the duly elected governor of their own party? I don't know. We'll find out. Senator Sears did tell me this morning that if they reach a deal on the pot bill, that it certainly will not move forward unless the governor goes out and publicly asks Don Turner and the GOP caucus to suspend rules. And then it's up to the House GOP caucus. Now, they've shown a willingness to dig in before, but they've also shown a willingness to change their mind at times when it suits them. So I guess we'll find out over the next few days if a pot deal is reached and it gets to the floor.
There's also the possibility, if this budget takes longer than 2 days,
They don't need suspension.
And we're into our third day.
But
there's not going to be a big tolerance, like Neil said, for a session that goes on and on.
And also, Terry, the idea that that perhaps the governor would support putting the marijuana bill on the budget as a way to pass it, is that a possibility?
Sure. I think that's another possibility.
It's within the realm of possibility. Even I think Representative Maxine Grad and Senator Sears would say that's probably unlikely. I guess Senator Sears has done some informal polling of members of the Senate, and there's not much appetite to mess with the budget by adding pot to it. It could happen in a very dire circumstance, but it's not obviously going to be their first choice.
Let's go back to our callers and talk to Bruce in Bennington. Hey, Bruce, welcome to the program.
Hi, welcome. What I'd like to know is, I'm a teacher down here in Bennington. I have negotiated contracts with our local boards. It seems to me that we all knew that there was going to be savings because of this change in the health insurance, and that the local boards, we've just finished our collective bargaining, and the local board is counting on some of that savings coming to them. And I'm wondering whether your reporters, what they think about what the governor's real motivation is here, because it seems to me that the savings are going to happen no matter what. The question is, who gets them? Is it the local school boards or is it the state? And just to respond to the person who spoke earlier, contracts generally have to be negotiated with employers, between employers and employees. And to take one chunk of that out and negotiate with the state, who is not a party to our contract, strikes me as odd.
Bruce, can I ask you a question about this? Bruce, I just had a quick question for you. You said there would be some savings at the local level in Bennington. Has it been determined? Has some of that money been used for other issues in the budget?
Not necessarily, because until just this week, we're right now in the process of voting on what our negotiated contract was. But we all knew, and the boards knew, that there would be savings because these new health insurance premiums were going to be lower. We all knew that. We're all in the same V-high pot. So I'm not being a board member. I'm a faculty member, mm-hmm. But I'm assuming if I'm a board member, I'm thinking about how I can utilize that money either to lower the tax rate here locally or to plow it into programs that we might need.
Bruce, thanks very much for your phone call. Neil, we hear this from some school board members saying, yes, there's going to be some savings, but we also have some needs at the local level, and perhaps mm-hmm. some of this money will be used for a new boiler.
Right. So to address Bruce's questions, it has been known for some time, both at the local district level among school board members and here in Montpelier among the administration and lawmakers, that the change in the V-High healthcare plans would produce savings. Now, what's different is the governor's original plan sought to take some of the savings and use it to fund higher ed, early child care and education, and even some property tax relief. As these negotiations have gone on, the governor has moved away from that and said, okay, if we can get these savings, scoop up these savings, we'll agree to return it all to property taxpayers. So it's no secret that the money was going to be saved regardless. If the lawmakers and the administration do nothing, that money will be saved. The issue is some school boards have taken to use that savings and apply it to other things that they might need in their individual districts. The governor is saying, nope, don't do that. We want to scoop that savings and give it right back to property taxpayers. That's really where we're at.
Let's talk to Jerry, who's calling from South Burlington. Hey, Jerry, welcome to the program.
Thanks. Just 2 points. First, I just want to let you know, in South Burlington, the contract negotiations with the teachers' union, the SBEA, is at an impasse. And at the time of the impasse, the position of the union teachers was the South Burlington taxpayers in the state of Vermont would pay 100% of their premiums and 100% of all out-of-pocket expenses of the teachers. Essentially, for the next 3 years, the teachers would not pay one penny for any and all aspects of their health insurance or costs. The second point I would like to make is with regard to Neil's point that the districts are the local employers. The state of Vermont spends $2 billion a year on public school education. Every citizen in the state of Vermont who earns $141,000 or less gets a prebate from the state, which goes to helping to pay for the school system. So I would argue that the state is a direct co-employer with, in my case, the city of South Burlington, of all teachers, and so the state has a vested interest in making sure that any contracts signed by the communities are economically sustainable over the long term.
Jerry, do you happen to know what the salary increase was going to be for the teachers in South Burlington? Because as we've been discussing, in some districts, teachers want to have higher salaries as opposed to lower health care premiums.
Over the next 3 years, it's going to be 4.89% for each of the next 3 years. In addition to the salary increase, the health insurance, the teachers would like another floating holiday in addition to all their other holidays. And they would like the city to contribute to a 403B plan in addition to the pension they will get from the state when they retire. This gives you an idea of the challenges which communities like South Burlington face, where the teachers keep demanding more and more and more benefits, and ultimately leads to an economically unsustainable situation.
Okay, Jerry, thanks very much for your phone call. We did get this email in from State Representative Gino Sullivan, who writes us, one issue we should address is using the voted budget as a political football. We have a natural AAA rating. We do not need a balanced budget law because we always present a balanced budget. The unnecessary veto of a past budget can put us on credit watch since the budget is no longer a working document. Instead, it's a political bludgeon to get a policy passed. Terry, you did say, and we've discussed today, the governor says he's not going to hold the budget hostage. He's going to sign it and make sure that it's in place July 1st.
Right. I think, you know, that certainly becomes a bigger point if we get to July 1st and there's no budget. So far, you know, it hasn't reached that level.
So, Neil, how could we get to July 1st with no budget? The governor says he'll sign a budget. Walk me through how that could happen.
I don't know, because I find it hard to believe that lawmakers would walk away and not at least pass the budget and yield bill that they already passed. And I find it hard to believe if we're, you know, getting to June 30th that the governor wouldn't sign those bills to have something in place and then, you know, take the battle to next January 2018 when lawmakers come back. I really think it just won't happen that we don't have a budget in place on July 1st.
Right at the end, we have just a little bit of time, but I want to ask both of you, just in the event that there is not a resolution to the teachers' health care issue, Terry, who looks bad? Does everybody look bad? How does this look to folks all around the state?
Well, I think if that happens, it will be because someone has calculated that the other person looks worse than they do. So there certainly will be efforts on both sides to make it look like the other one is the problem maker. But ultimately, like, not, and I really think that the governor would then try to sell this as I tried to save you some money and they just wouldn't let me do it. So I had no choice. But, you know, the legislature will equally as strongly try to argue, as Gino Sullivan did, that this is making the budget a political football and that he came out with his plan fairly late. You know, they both have good arguments. It depends. You know, some of them are a little more complicated for the Twitter audience to comprehend. So,
and Neil, if there is no agreement, does this become sort of a prime issue in the 2018 campaign?
Absolutely. You know, and even if there is agreement, I expect this to come back up. The governor will say, well, they didn't go along with my original plan, which would have done wonderful things for the state of Vermont. You know, it no matter what, this is an issue for next year.
We'll be following these issues very closely in the next few days to see if a compromise is reached on teachers' health care and the legalization of marijuana. Many thanks to our panel today, Terry Hallenbeck of 7 Days and Neil Goswami of the Vermont Press Bureau. Thanks very much. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Bob.
Sure, Bob.